Okay, awesome. Well, you know, the question, who am I? Who am I? Is probably one of the most probing, challenging questions that we can ever ask ourselves as women. You know, one, too, that we can struggle with so much. Who am I? Who am I called to be? We can read books about it. We can go to counseling about it. We can watch Oprah or Dr. Phil every day and still struggle with that question, who am I really? And what I've come to find out is that it's not just a young issue, a 20s or a teenage issue. It can follow us all through our life. We can struggle with it being older. We never fully find out who we are, who God has called us to be. So I'm praying tonight that through these words that you're going to leave encouraged tonight. I decided to write down, make a list of all the things that I do and that I am. And you could probably make a similar list. So here goes my list of all the things that I am and that I do. I'm a woman, right? I'm Dino's wife. I'm a mother. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. I'm a granddaughter. I'm a worship leader. I'm leading the women at HPC. I'm the spiritual mother of our house. I'm a cook, I'm a maid, I'm a chauffeur, I'm a nurse, I'm a doctor, I'm a tutor, I'm a financial planner, I'm an interior decorator, I am friends with Carrie Weems, I'm a fashion guru, and I'm an accessory person, and last but not least, I am an animal print lover. How many animal print lovers do we have? Woo! Love it. You know, my 9-year-old daughter loves to ask me all the time, you know, Mom, what are you going to do today? She thinks I do nothing all day. Don't you remember thinking that about your mom and you'd leave for school? What does she have to do? And I always am like, babe, I don't sit around on the couch and eat chocolates all day. I have a list a mile long, right? We all have so many things to do. And my list, 20 things. My list was 20 things, and it could have gone on forever. It sounds pretty good, right? Sounds pretty successful. But if you took away all of those things from me, all those titles, all that those things said that I was, the wife of Dino, the daughter of Wayne Austin, worship leader, mother, who would I be if you took all that away from me? If you took away all your jobs or your titles, who would you be? Who would you be? I'm starting to realize more and more that what I do is not really who I am. Amen? But boy, can I find my value and my identity in what I do. I started realizing this. I never knew this about myself till I had kids. And I can remember having children and being on maternity leave at church and not being a part of everything. And I just kept waiting on that call, that emergency call that everything was falling apart because I wasn't there. You know, just really found my identity and my worth in what I did, leading worship, whatever I was leading. And when I wasn't, it made me feel out of place. So we have to know our identity is found inside, not in things that we do, right? It's on the inside. I wrote this down. It's who we are, not what we do. But who we are affects what we do. It's all in the R, not the do, the A-R-E. Amen? What describes you tonight? Is it your accomplishments or your character? What describes you? So I want to give you a few qualities. We're just going to run through them. And thoughts that I believe that God wants us to have and to believe about ourselves, okay? The first one is, I am strong. I am strong. Do you believe you're strong tonight? You know, girls, God made us strong. He made us strong. How did he make us? He made us from Adam's rib, right? What does a rib do? It protects. It protects the heart. It gives strength. You know, without our ribs, we would just jelly over. We couldn't even stand up straight. And I think the men would all jelly over if us girls weren't around, right? But we're made strong. You know, Dino used to write me love notes, and he would put to my rib. At 18 years old, I really didn't get that, you know, but he thought that was cool. But he was saying, you know, you're my strength, right? You're strong. Think about women in the Bible who are strong. Think about Esther. What did Esther do? She stood up to the king on behalf of her people. Think about Mary. What strength it took to believe for the impossible that she was going to have the savior of the world. Think about women in history. Corrie Ten Boom survived concentration camps. Mother Teresa, Rosa Parks said, you know, I'm not sitting in the back of that bus anymore. That took courage. That took strength. Amen? Think about Dino, my husband's mom. She had 10 miscarriages in her life. And Dino was her 13th child. I can't even imagine that. I had one miscarriage, and it was so traumatic. And she had 10 miscarriages. She had Dino's older sister. 5 years went by, then gave birth to another girl. 5 years later, then Dino. Strength, amen? God says to be strong, girls, because I've put strength inside of you. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 6. I love this scripture in the Message Bible. 6, verse 10 through 12. Are you ready? God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget in a couple hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish. Amen? This isn't a game we're playing, girls. This is a fight. Life is a fight. We're in a fight, and we're in a fight to win. I love the scripture, Joshua 1:9. You probably all know it by heart. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen? I've had to so quote that scripture over and over in my life for all the new journeys, the new seasons, when I felt like I couldn't do it in my strength. I had to depend on God to know that he's with me. If God is with us, there's nothing we can't do. Amen? I love the definition of the word strong. Listen to this. It's capable of withstanding force or wear, solid, tough, and firm. Man, I want to be that. You know, it sure would be nice if we could schedule when storms come. Wouldn't it be great if we could schedule when we have a bad day, when we're in a happy mood? Well, let something happen on that day. But we can't, right? Just like you Floridians know, as us Louisianians, that you can't schedule a hurricane, right? We wish we could. You know, Hurricane Katrina happened on my birthday. Now, would I have wanted that to happen? No, not in a million years. You can't schedule when the storms of life will come. But you can be strong through the storms of life. And then you're going to be stronger when it's all over. Amen? Hurricane Katrina didn't knock us out in Louisiana. We're stronger because of it. I love the definition of strength. The power to resist strain or stress. Ouch. That one gets me every time. You know, we live in a stressed out world. My kids say they're stressed out all the time, and they have no idea what stress really is, right? But we're always stressed out because we're going so hard in a million different directions. But you know what I've learned that the Lord has just been telling me over and over is, Dylan, you can handle more than you think. I want you to say with me, I can handle more than I think. It's so true. So many times we think we can't handle anything. You know, for me coming home from Disney last night, it was kind of crazy, and Dino wasn't with me. I had the three kids, and we got in last night, and I had to fully unload and try to pack again. But you know what? God's grace was just there. I didn't even feel tired. I was like, okay, God, I can handle more than I think because God has given us strength. Amen? And you know what else I think? It's not only that we can handle the storms, but we can handle the God opportunities. Sometimes the storms are easier than the opportunities. Now, that might sound crazy to you, but sometimes when God opens a door, we think, wow, we could never do that. That the dream is too big, the task is too big, that God, I can't handle that because it's just too hard, and how will I maneuver and manage, and what will we do with the kids and my schedule and the time? But you can handle more than you think. I know for our first conference for Live the Dream, we're a couple years behind you guys. I think we just had our third conference. The first year, I was terrified. I don't know about you, Carrie, but I was just so nervous. Because you know why? I thought I couldn't do it. In the natural, I thought, this is way bigger than me. Other people can have conferences. What am I trying to prove here? I can't do this. For a few weeks out, I mean, just my stomach was in knots and just popping Pepto and Rolaids, you know, just lost a lot of weight, just nervous, because I felt like I could not handle it. Right before it happened, I remember getting the biggest zit on my face. You know, one of those stress ones? Have you ever gotten one of those? Like, I don't even break out that much. I mean, I'm 40 now, but I was 30-something then. got a big old zit. And I was like, oh my gosh, the first ever lived dream in the big zit, like right here on the chin. Tried everything to get rid of it. Went to all these people. Nobody could get rid of it. But it's okay, you know, because God brings you through, right? Zit and all, first lived the dream. This year, you will be happy to know I was zit free. No zits. Because why? We can handle more than we think. Amen? You can handle more than you think. Oh, I just get so tired of seeing women always just drained and tired and weary. We've got to have energy and be strong. Women, amen? Amen. Never forget the joy of the Lord is our strength. Sometimes when I'm just kind of going through the motions and I'm weary and tired, you know why? I'm doing it in my strength. But if we will live and walk and move and mother and everything that you have to do in God's strength, you can handle more than you think. So remember, we're not frail, we're not weak, we're not timid, but we are strong women. Amen? Amen. Okay. The next quality that I believe God wants you to believe about yourself is I am valuable and precious. I am valuable and precious. You know, I grew up in a home where my sister and I heard these words every day of our life. My dad would say, Dylan, Candace, you are valuable and you are precious. We knew that he felt that way because we knew our Heavenly Father felt that way. And he would always encourage us, honey, no man can ever give you value. You are valuable because of your Savior. Do you know what that does to a girl to hear that every day, every day? You believe it, you know, you start believing it. He would always tell us, you're the apple of my eye, the cream of the crop. I wouldn't trade you for a basketball. He was a basketball coach, so that meant a whole lot. So we just loved that, and we'd sing that little song, and he would say how much he loved his two little girls, and he made up this song, and he wasn't a singer, but he would sing it to us every day. It was just so precious. But can I tell you, if you didn't hear that from your dad, I was blessed to hear that from my dad and mom. But if you didn't, your Heavenly Father believes that you are valuable and you are precious. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, no matter what's happened to you, it does not diminish your value. Amen. You are valuable. You are precious. You are worthwhile. You are worth so much that what did God do? He gave his life for you. Don't forget that. So many times we think we're just worth nothing. You are valuable. You are precious. Hold your head high. Amen. You are valuable and precious. The next thought, love this one. Love this one. I am comfortable in my own skin. We've got to admit this is a big one for us girls. We can just all fall into that comparison trap. I know I can. I have struggled with comparing myself to speakers. You know, I didn't grow up speaking. I grew up singing and didn't sign up to be a speaker, but God enlisted me. And I just wasn't ready for that. And so what I would do is I would compare myself to everybody. Well, you know, I'm not like this one. I don't have an accent like Chris Kane. Do you love Chris Kane? I don't have that cool accent. You know, I don't have a story like hers. I was just brought up in church. You know, I'm not a Joyce Meyer. I can't just quote the Bible. I don't have cool hand motions. You know, you can just tell yourself this crazy stuff. No, I'm not kidding. I had these thoughts. And the enemy just tells you these things. And I finally had to get to the place where I said, you know what? I don't have to be any of those people. I've got to quit trying because I'll never be that. There's only one Joyce Meyer. There's only one Chris Kane, and there only needs to be one. You've got to be you. I've got to be me. You're an original. God made you just the way he wanted you. You know, I think about, too, we don't just compare ourselves physically. But we can compare our talents. Our gifts. Well, man, I sure wish I had that gift. I wish I could speak like Carrie. I wish I could do this like so-and-so. We can't fall into that trap either. We can even compare our kids. Man, their kids are smarter than my kids. We can compare our marriages. I mean, come on, we do it. Quit the comparison game altogether. Amen. Amen. We know we come in a lot of different packages. Right, girls? We can be tall and short and round and curvy. And thin lips and full lips and innies or outie belly buttons. You know, we come a lot of different ways, but they're all beautiful and magnificent in their own way because God makes us all beautiful. All beautiful. Hollywood, can I tell you, doesn't have it right? You know, quit looking to Hollywood for a measuring stick. You can't go there, girls, because you'll never measure up to that. Look, they're not even real. They're all airbrushed. They're not even real, okay? So just quit looking at them. Amen? That's right. You know, the other day I saw this show, and it was this girl, and she was about 5'10", weighed 110 pounds, and they thought it was for Ralph Lauren. And they said, she's too heavy. So they put her face on a thinner body. I mean, what have we come to, right? We can't compare ourselves to girls that aren't even real. It's heads and different bodies. Take Barbie, for instance, and I'm going to ask Sarah to come up here with a Barbie. Take Barbie, for instance. I have actually played Barbies with my little girl, Isabella. Don't think I'm crazy, but I have looked at Barbie and said, man, she looks good. Have you ever done that? I mean, usually the Barbies that we play with at my house have no clothes on. And their hair's all matted and, you know, scraggly. Is that how your girls are? This one actually has clothes and she's really cute. But we can look to her and think, this is the way we're supposed to look. That's crazy. And I have said that. Like, man, Barbie's got it going on. Let me read you some Barbie statistics. Listen to this as Sarah shows our Barbie. And Sarah looks like a little Barbie. Isn't she cute? Okay, imagine if Barbie became a real woman. How would she look? Considering that there are 3 billion women on the planet who don't look like Barbie. Amen. Only 8 women in the world even would come close. Wow. If Barbie were a real woman, her head would be the same circumference as her waist, meaning she'd have room for only half a liver and a few inches of intestines, as opposed to the usual 26 feet. The result would be chronic diarrhea and death. Hello, death from malnutrition. To look like Barbie proportionally, a healthy woman would need to add 2 feet to her height, subtract 6 inches from her waist, add 5 centimeters to her chest, and 3 centimeters to her neck length. Whoa. Because Barbie's neck is twice as long as the average human's, it would be impossible for her to hold her head up. Her legs are 50% longer than her arms. The average woman's legs are only 20% longer than her arms. She'd also, love this, have to walk on all fours because her feet are so disproportionately small that her chest would pull her forward onto her toes. Woo! Okay, listen what a real woman is. Are you ready? Listen what a real woman is. The average woman's height, thank you, Jesus, is 5'4". Their weight is about 140 pounds. Yes. They wear a size 14 dress. Cool. Their bust is between 36 and 37, a B cup. Yeah. Their waist is between 30 and 34. Their hips average about 42 inches. And their shoe size is between an 8.5 and a 9.5. That's a real woman, right? Listen about Barbie. Barbie's height, if she was a real woman, would be 7'2". Her weight would be 101 pounds. Oh my gosh. She would wear a size 4 dress. Her bust would be a 39 double F cup. Does that even exist? I don't know. Her waist would be 19 inches, the same as her head. Her hips would be 33 inches, and her shoe size would be a 5. Isn't that great? Thank God we're not like Barbie, right? Thank you, Sarah. Give Sarah a hand. I just love that. It's so crazy that we could even compare ourselves to Barbie, because I have. Forget the Barbie. We're real women. We are satisfied with the body that God gave us, right? We're content. Amen. And we just do the best with what we have. Awesome. Okay, the next quality. I am committed. I am committed. I got to hurry. You know, lately my heart has been so heavy to see so many people just not committed. It's just such a spirit of just non-committal everywhere you look, right? And it's even in the church. We just can't be committed to the house of God. When it's convenient, when I'm not too tired, when all my kids are well, when I feel like it, I might show up. I know that's none of you. But We got to be committed. We got to be committed to sisterhood, committed to shine, committed to our God. Amen? We've also got to be committed to that spouse that God gave us. You know, I love Dino, and if you've ever heard him here, you can probably tell that we're really opposites. Dino is laid back. I'm not laid back at all. He's just so, whatever's good, I'm a perfectionist, okay? Total opposites. But you know what? I love him, and I made a commitment to him and a covenant. So through it all, even when he makes me mad and I don't like him, I'm committed to him because they're going to make you mad, and you're not going to like them some days. But the older you get, the more you learn, it's just not worth it. But anyway, you know what I thought about, though? I think we can feel like our marriages are like buying clothes. How many of you like to take stuff back? Man, I am the queen. I'm really bad about it, Carrie. I don't have much time to shop, so I'll run in a store, grab a couple shirts. If it doesn't fit, I'll just take it back. You know, we can feel like that with our marriages. We take it home and say, what? Just didn't fit real good. Just don't like it that much. It costs too much. And what do we want to do? We want to bring it back and get something better. But we all know it's never better. It's never better. We've got to have marriages that are all sales are final. No exchanges or refunds allowed. Amen? Come on, clap your hands. Amen. Please know, girls, there's no condemnation, judgment. I know in a room this size there's been girls go through divorce. Maybe you're going through that now. God loves you. You are not a second-class Christian. I'm just talking to the girls. We got to try to be committed to the spouse God gave us. Amen? And single girls, wait for God's best. Can I encourage you with that? I know we have girls in our church. When they hit 30, they're freaking out. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm not married yet. Don't freak out. Wait for God's best. I saw this lady the other day on a show, and she's written a book, Mr. Good Enough. She said, girls in today's society are not waiting for Mr. Right anymore. It's let me just try out Mr. Good Enough. That is not the way we do it, girls. We wait for God's best. His timing is perfect. Amen? Let's be women that are committed. The next thing is I am fun and exciting. I cannot believe I am like being long-winded. I got to hurry up. I am fun and exciting. We have to believe that about ourselves, girls. So many of us think, oh, we're just dull and boring. We have nothing to offer. But you do. God sees you as fun and exciting. Amen? Sometimes we just got to loosen up. Quit being so busy and stressed out and uptight and getting your to-do list done and have a little fun. That is my nature. My nature is not fun. Dino's nature is the life of the party. I'm more, let's get, you know, structure. So I have to work on that. You know, when I spoke this to our girls, we turned on dance music and we all got up and just danced and had a good time. I was nice to y'all tonight and I did not bring the dance music, so you don't have to dance. But whatever it takes for you to just have a good time, sometimes in your car, just turn on some fun music. Loosen up. Have a good time. Amen? You are fun. You are exciting. Okay? You're not dull. You're not boring. Okay, the next quality that God sees you having and wants you to have is I am hopeful. I am hopeful. I just really hope tonight that you leave encouraged and that you are full of hope and know that God has a plan for you, that you're not forgotten, and that now is not forever. So many times we feel like now, our situation that we're in now, is going to last forever. It'll never get better. Man, you know, my finances will never get better. My kids will never get better. My marriage, but it will if you trust God. Amen? You got to have hope. I love Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Amen? Sometimes we don't know the plans that God has for us. But he knows the plans. And what are they? Plans to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. If we don't have hope, girls, we don't have anything. We've got to have hope. We've got to live with hope. Your best days are ahead. And lastly, tonight, I am a difference maker. I'm a difference maker. Girls, you're a difference maker. Amen? We don't just exist to exist. We don't just sit on that chair to take up space. But we exist to make a difference. You know, our church is all about serving, and I know you are too at Celebration. Just serving anybody and everybody any way we can. Amen? To have a front row seat with hurting humanity. You know, my son, the teachers always put him up in the front because he's just like Dino, ADD to the max. And I'm sure a lot of you wanted to be on the front row tonight. You try to hurry in there and you will it shine. But do we want to be on the front row when it comes to hurting people, the ones that nobody wants to minister to, the hard ones? We've got to be on the front row of hurting humanity and make a difference. It's not just for missionaries or pastors or people on a church staff can be a difference maker. You are a difference maker, an everyday, ordinary God chick doing extraordinary things. That's what you are. Amen? Let me read some stories to you of some girls in our church. These are everyday girls, just everyday like you and me, but they're making a difference in their daily world. Listen to these stories. Meredith is a young stay-at-home mom whose husband is home for a month, then offshore for a month. She started a Mother's Day Out Connect group as an outreach for other stay-at-home moms. She can't go on the midnight outreaches that we have to some strip clubs, but she found a way to serve by gathering girls the week before to make flower bouquets for the outreach. Isn't that awesome? She makes homemade baby food for her little girl. She watches other moms' kids at the last minute when they're in need. And she uses her artistic talents to make cards and invitations for those who need them. She's a first response caller when she hears of a family in need. And she's constantly sharing with others what God is teaching her that week and spreading an encouraging word of scripture. Isn't that awesome? Listen to this about Carol. Carol has a passion for social injustice and for the orphans of this world. As a mother of four, she has adopted two children from the poorest areas of the world. Her ministry is serving the poor in the inner city by picking up children and bringing them to church. She's making a difference. Vivian is a retired grandmother who oversees her zip code in our helps ministry. She cooks for people who had surgery, lost a loved one, or had a new baby. She has personally battled through sickness all of her life and is able to pray with the sick and comfort them when she brings food to their home in their time of need. She has been able to bring many people to church and, most importantly, has been a part of leading many of them to a personal relationship with Jesus just through serving them a meal. And I'll just give you one more. Lacey. Lacey witnesses to doctors and nurses every day as she remains full of love and faith that her baby boy, her first child diagnosed with spina bifida, will walk. She's committed to staying home every day to take care of her little angel, Oliver, driving him to therapy after therapy. She allows her faith in Oliver and her love to care for him to build others up, others' faith daily. She and her husband lead a connect group for young married couples with children, a few of whom have come because they have been ministered to by Lacey because their children also have spina bifida. And I could read on, and I'm sure there are many stories here of girls that are making a difference. I just hope tonight as Carrie comes that you're not only inspired and challenged by this message, but you're encouraged to just stop fighting the battle of who am I and say, God, I know who I am in you. Amen. I am strong. I am capable. I can handle more than I think. You have made me full of hope. I'm fun and exciting. I'm a difference maker. Amen. Amen. Why don't we give Jesus a hand?